Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we exalt you. We magnify you. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please, if you brought your Bibles, turn with me to Romans 15. And we're going to expound verses 4 through 6. 4 through 6. And I've entitled this morning's message, Jesus, Our Encourager. Amen. Jesus, Our Encourager. You know, saints, our world, we all know, for some of us, it's upside down. Never would we have imagined when we were 8 or 9 years old that we would see life the way it is today. And I'm talking about spiritually and morally. It's no longer the same. Forget about the days of Leave It to Beaver. Forget about the days of Father Knows Best. Forget about the days of My Three Sons. For some of you, that just went right over your head. Yeah, yeah. You know, things are different now, right? And we see that there is turmoil in the world. And we see that we're on the brink of an all-out war. We know that because of Trump's election, Russia, China, and North Korea are mounting up. Because they want to be the dogs now. Okay? They don't want us to be the dog no more. And China has about 30 more stations around the world, especially throughout South America, than we now. And so I believe that in the days we live in, the United States is in the way. And if you read Revelation, we're the eighth king that they want to take out. We're in the way. And so I'm here to let us know that things are going to get tougher. Yeah, right. But through it all, Jesus is our encourager.
That's right.
Can I get amen? Amen. So the world can fall apart. Hallelujah. But God can still build us up. Can I get amen?
Amen.
God will watch over his people. I don't care where we're living. We could be on the highest mountain. We could be in the lowest valley. But God is there. Amen. And so we're going to look at the attributes of God this morning. We're going to look on how he operates so that we have a clear biblical worldview of who he is. He's not the genie in the bottle. He's not Santa Claus. Can I get an amen? But he's the lifter of our head. Only he can comfort you when there's turmoil. Only he can heal you when there's affliction and disease. Only he can supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. You have to understand who he is in your life. You got to understand that he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You got to believe that he is who he says he is. He says, I am. I am the great I am. Hallelujah. He's the God that spoke us into existence. The whole entire universe. He spoke it, and so it was. And so I'm here to let us know this morning that he will encourage you in your darkest moment. I don't care where have you gone spiritually, emotionally, physically, God is there to pick you up. So are we there at Romans 15? Let's see what the Word of God says here. And it reads in verse 4. For whatever things were written before were written for our, what? Learning. That we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. That's where our hope comes from, the written Word. Can I get amen? And the Spirit of God. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And so, saints, as I just mentioned, discouragement comes to all of us at times. Can I get amen?
Amen.
But we don't have to remain in that condition. I hope you know that. We don't have to remain in those pity parties. Although, saints of God, it often feels like a trap from which there is no escape. I've seen some people, they don't know how to get out of it. They're just mentally clogged, spiritually clogged. And they don't know how to get past their next step. But every believer has a choice to either stay in that pit of discouragement or to get out. You know, God gave us options. Can I get amen?
Amen?
Praise God. And it all, saints, it all depends upon our perspective.
Yes.
Say that with me, perspective. If we focus on our difficult circumstances and negative feelings, we can easily be drawn into despair and depression.
Amen.
Easily. Listen. It doesn't matter what took place these last few weeks. Don't matter whether your political party won or lost.
That's right.
Jesus is on the throne.
Amen.
Jesus is the one that raises up leaders and sets them down.
Right.
Can I get amen? When you get the right perspective, it doesn't matter. Because God runs the world. Can I get amen?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It's His world, not ours. He just allows us to maintain it till He comes back. And so when we fix our eyes on our great, encouraging God, He lifts us up and He sets us free. Can I get amen? The scripture we just read right here in Romans says that God gives both perseverance and encouragement so that you and I can have the hope of glory. Perseverance is the determination to keep going and not to give up. Whereas encouragement, it inspires, it motivates, and what? Also, it energizes. We should be energized, hallelujah, having the Spirit of God living in us. Do you remember when you got filled with the Holy Ghost?
Yes.
Remember the joy that was unspeakable? And you had to tell somebody what happened to you? I know I did. I called up 50 people. They thought, man, this boy backslid. What's he on now? Yeah, that's right. I'm high. I'm high on the Most High. Hallelujah. I'm high on Jesus. And when you get high on Jesus, man, I'm telling you, you become a wrecking ball. Oh, that's right. You become a wrecking ball. And there are things that God will use you to tear down in your life. Amen. Because there are sometimes we put up walls that need to be torn down. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
When we let the Lord Jesus encourage us, we'll have the energy, desire, and strength to endure whatever hardship we're facing. Thank you, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So, I want to look at this. Number one, encouragement. To encourage means to call to one's side, to help, to console, or even strengthen. Or to instill courage in another person. Are you the one? Are you the kind of people that encourages or tears down? Because it's easy to find your fault. But can you build someone's life? Can you tell them they can make it? Well, I'm telling you one thing. That's what God does for us. He never tears us down. And so the original Greek word is also translated as comfort. Comfort. How many love comfort? When we travel, we want to be comforted. When we sleep, we want to be comforted. We want to get the right pillow, the right bed, the right angle.
Right.
We want to be comforted. I want to be I want to be lavished in comfort. Well, let me just say this. God comforts us every day.
Amen. Yes, he does.
Every moment. Can I get amen?
Amen.
He allows us to take our next breath. And so Paul wrote to the Corinthian church as well and stated that no matter what challenges we encounter, God is there to comfort and to give us fortitude to endure. Don't you want that strength to endure? Well, it's right here in the Word. See, when you start reading the Word will get in you. Because the Word is sharper than a two-edged sword, able to reach down into the bone and marrow. So when you start reading the Word, the Word is alive. It's just not ink on pages. It's just not digital screen. The Word is alive and it gets in you. Hallelujah. And it does something supernatural. It's the only Word in the world that can lift you up. And also it can save you. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Look at Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of what? Mercies, and the God of all comfort. He's the God of all comfort. I love God. Before I go to bed, before I just, you know, close my eyes, I know he's there with me. He was there with me the whole day. He was there with me when I got up. He'll be there when we wake up. Can I get amen? He's comforting us when we're sound asleep. Did you know that he watches over you? That's what God does. Look at this. Who comforts us in all of our tribulation. Wow. How many people do you know are going through something right now? We need to remind them that God can comfort them and God loves them and to draw close to God. Amen. We are the conduits. We're the ones that could touch their life and say, you know what? There's hope. There's hope in the risen Christ. There's hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Who comforts us all in our tribulation that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble. There it is. Look at that. And I know some people that got in some serious trouble and we were able to minister to them. I know some people that are gravely ill right now, but we're still able to comfort them.
Amen.
Just a hug will comfort them.
Yes.
You know, do you know that a hug and telling them that you love them Amen. Will alleviate some of the pain?
Amen.
And with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. So if we're comforted by God, let us be also comforting other people. Amen. But we'll miss, saints of God, his blessings if we fail to recognize how much he desires to help us. God will take the extra step, the extra length to help you in your time of need. And so, let's look at this. What attributes of God make him our great encourager? What can you think of? You see, this is why you need to study the Word. Because in the Bible, it'll tell you exactly who he is and what he does and how he does it and what he doesn't do. So we have to take that earthly mentality and we have to look at the Scriptures to look at it into a biblical view. Not a humanistic point of view. Because we can be great to other people, but we can be harsh to others at the same time. To someone that's different, right? We can choose, oh, I'm going to comfort this one, but no, I'm going to stay far away from that one. We can go that way, but God doesn't roll like that. God doesn't roll like that. He still loves the one that you don't love.
That's right. Thank you, Father.
Can I get amen?
Yes.
Oh, yes, he does.
He does.
Yes, he does. What? Because he created him. He created her. He loves his creation. And so that's why we have to always be careful. We got to be careful. Can I get an amen? You see, a key element in overcoming discouragement, saints, is having a personal understanding of who God is and how he operates. Once you understand how he operates, now you can apply the attributes that will be birthed in you by the power of the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God. Now we'll know how to minister to certain individuals in a godly approach and not a humanistic approach. Once we identify the attribute, saints, and recognize that they are manifested through us by the indwelling Holy Spirit, we'll have a reason to be hopeful in trying situations. You ever had a situation that was just so challenging? Just challenging. And so he's an encourager, right? Encouragement. But let me just say this. Another attribute of God is he's merciful. Yeah. Hallelujah. Mercy. Did you know that none of us deserve salvation? Did you know that none of us, at times, we could think about this for a moment. We shouldn't be in a place like this. We'd be out there in the world. Can I get an amen? Back in the day, I'm talking in my young 20s. This was football Sunday. We'd be blazing in the morning, drinking in the afternoon, drinking all night, and blazing up all night, watching football all day long. Church was something that was a million miles away. But he had mercy. He had mercy on our stinking thinking. Can I get an amen? So we had some stinking thinking back then. And he could have just stepped on us like a roach. Like a cucaracho. But he didn't. You know what he saw? He saw in us something that we couldn't see in each other. A heart that would love him. Once he introduced himself to us. Once he opened up our eyes, he saw that we would love him. That we would adore him. We would worship him. We would praise him. We didn't see that. He did, though. Thank you, God. His mercy, mercy. The Lord knows our circumstances and feels compassion for all of our pain and struggles. How many believe that? Amen. Therefore, saints of God, he bends toward to give us great comfort. He bends. He goes to great lengths to comfort us because he knows who we are. 2 Corinthians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of what? Mercies. And the God of all comfort. Mercy. Mercy, mercy. Let me just say this. For those of you who have been apprehended by the law, and maybe some of you have been incarcerated before, but before you went in, you had to stand before the judge for a sentence, right? And you're standing in there like, oh God, is there any mercy here? Is there any mercy here? And then he hits that gavel, right? And then the sentence is made. Well, I'm here to let you know that Jesus stood in front and said, I've exonerated them all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have forgiven all of their sin. Hallelujah. I will not hold their sin against them anymore. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. How many so blessed to know that that's what he did for us? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And you have to understand another attribute here. Look at this. He's omnipresent. We are never out of God's reach because he's everywhere at once. He fills all space. Right now, as I am speaking, he is in South America at the same time. He's in China at the same time. He fills all space. Even in times of loneliness and rejection, we're not alone since the Spirit of God lives within us. As a believer, you should never be lonely. Can I get an amen? Not to say that those lonely things or those feelings will come, but once you recognize they come, we know how to get out of that pity party, don't we? You know what? Just start praising Him. Just start worshiping Him and exalting Him and telling Him how much you love Him. Defer it away and watch God do something miraculous. You see, so he's everywhere at once. And King David understood this. Look at this in Psalms 139:7. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. This is letting us know that I don't care where you're at. He's there. When you go visit people in the hospital, He's already there. He's been there. Can I get an amen? Thank you, God. And how many believe this right up here? He's omnipotent. You know what that means? That means He's all-powerful. All the nukes in the world, He blows them out like a candle. You ever blow out a candle? He'll blow them all out like a candle. No, that's how powerful He is. He spoke everything into existence. He created the earth. He created the heaven underneath the atmosphere, which is the first heaven. He created the second heaven, which is beyond the atmosphere, is all the galaxies, the Milky Ways, all the stars, the moons, the comets, the planets. How, as far as the Hubble telescope can see, He created all that. That's the second heaven. And then He created the third heaven. It's above that where He lives. And just how vast that is. And guess what? If we were to take a rocket ship, it would take us forever to get to the third heaven. This is why He's going to give us the speed of thought. Not the speed of light, but the speed of thought. Boom. We're there. That's how fast. And that's how fast we're going to be changed into that new body. Can I get an amen? You see, our Lord has power and He governs everything. Did you know He's the one that keeps the ocean from intruding on the land? He created that tide, low tide, high tide, but it don't overtake the land. He holds it at bay. Can I get an amen? He gives us then enough air to breathe. Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed that He didn't make the weather 200 degrees? He made it a perfect, what, 72, 73, maybe 50 in the morning, but then it'll get about 75, right? He made it perfect for us. He did it for us. That's how powerful He is. We never had. Listen, saints, we never have to wonder whether He's able to handle our situation. I hope you know that. He can handle anything. He's more than enough for whatever you and I are facing. Look what it says here in Colossians right up here. For by Him, say that with me. For by Him. Who's Him? Jesus. Look at this. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth. Visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. He holds everything together. Everything. Whew. You know, there's a new trend or fad or whatever, going around the world with UFOs now. There's UFOs now. No, those demons have always been there. It's a demonic realm. UFO. See, they're using that, so when we're out of here, they came and got them. A ship came and got them. It was a UFO. Yeah, right. Now, here's another attribute. He's omniscient. What is omniscientness? That's right. He's all-knowing. Did you know that there are 7.8 billion people on the earth and he already knows everyone's thought at the same time? What? If someone is praying in Thailand and you're praying right now, he hears them all. What kind of God is that? Huh? And you're worried about your problem? That he can't fix it? He's not a mechanic that'll open up your hood and say, man, I don't know about this. Looks like you need a new car. No. Some of us don't know how to get rid of our old cars. Keep on loving it, brother. I used to love mine too, until they stole it. I couldn't get back my 66 Caprice. They stole it right in front of Lincoln High School. It was gone. That was my last lowrider. I had 520s all the way around and lift kits everywhere. I was part of it. Gone. I said, I'll never get an old car again. That's just me, though. But he's omniscient. He's all-knowing. Since God possesses all knowledge, saints of God, he has the answers to every problem that comes your way. And he's able to give perfect guidance for every decision we make. Did you know that? He'll lead you and guide you. He'll give you the right perspective. He will lead you to the perfect way if we allow him. Can I get amen? King David understood this. Look at this. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite, meaning beyond measure. Beyond measure. Listen, we're finite beings. He's an infinite being. Can I get an amen? His knowledge is so vast, we pale in comparison. Okay, the only way I can describe it is we got a brain like a little pulga. You see how small a little flea is? And then take that little tiny brain next to a human brain. And yet his is even greater than that. Much greater. Beyond. We can't even imagine. But guess what? One day we're going to see him face to face. Amen. Another attribute is this. He's gracious. He's so gracious. He gives you things that you don't even deserve. He blesses you despite of yourself. You've been praying for things to come your way and you think that they'll never come, then all of a sudden, boom. He just answered your prayer. Can I get amen? Amen. The Lord's grace toward us doesn't mean we've done something to deserve it. No, we don't. He knows we cannot be perfect. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? He knows that we can't be perfect. Amen. You may think you're perfect. But he promised to forgive and cleanse us when we confess our sins. Let me just say this. He made this most unique attribute in you and me. That even after salvation, we're still going to miss the mark because we live in a sinful body. We're eternally saved, but we still live in this body of flesh that will want to sin all by itself. Unless you what? That's right. Paul said it, I crucify this flesh. Because this flesh is up to no good. If you allow this flesh to have its way, it'll wreck you. Especially when he's delivered you. You should go back to that no more. Whatever he's delivered you from, don't go back. The Bible says it'll be like a dog going back to its vomit. He knows we cannot be perfect, but he promised to forgive and cleanse us. Even when we continue, oh my gosh, listen to this. When we continue in disobedience, he graciously disciplines and he corrects us. For what? What's the purpose? For we won't continue a path of destruction that could ruin your life. I'm going to say in my mid-walk. So I've been walking with God for 66 years. Got saved at the age of 30. So in my mid-walk, meaning in my 40s, no, going almost to 50, I did something that didn't honor him, and he let me know it. And he had to discipline me. In other words, I had to take a time out. And then he restored me. Because he doesn't leave you there bewildered and despaired. He'll restore you and reconcile you back to him so that you can finish the call in your life. How many believe you've been called by God? Amen. We've been called by God, haven't we? And so what he says, finish the race. So he made a way. He made a way. Listen. You know, the law of the land doesn't have an escape clause, but God does. That's right here in 1 John. Look at this. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to what? Forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him what? A liar. And the truth is not him. Here's one thing, another attribute that he has that many of us don't have. In other words, many of us have a short string. And he's long suffering. He's what? He's patient. He waited 30 years for me to come to him. After I was witness to almost my whole young adulthood, from 17 to 30, people used to come by and witness to me and tell me about God, and I'll tell them, you know, where they can go. Hard heart. And yet he was patient. Did you know he was patient with you? Huh? Listen, some of you were morally sound. You grew up okay. You didn't have that testimonial life. God delivered me from this and that. But guess what he delivered you from? Yourself. Because self-righteousness doesn't get you in. Only God can get you in. Can I get an amen? He's patient. God is willing to even wait when we procrastinate. You know, even in the moment of not obeying him, he's still patient. His goal, saints of God, is to bring you and I along on a wonderful spiritual growth and not to cut us off when we fail. Aren't you so glad he don't just cut you off? I'm done with you. Look at Peter wrote right here, 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering, meaning he is so patient toward you and I, toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Yes.
Man, the day you came, remember when you came and you cried out? Ooh. Every one of us had that moment. And it was an awesome moment. You know why? Because it was you and him. And only you and him. It was nobody else but you and him. He wanted that one-on-one with you. Praise God. And another thing, an attribute, is this. He's wise. Wise. You see, the Lord's judgments, the Bible says, are unsearchable. And his ways are unfathomable. He knows what's best for you and I at each point in our life. And he guides us wisely in every situation. How many of you have been in situations where you thought, this is the end for me? Many times, huh? We can be up here testifying. No, we thought, this is over now. And yet it was the wisdom of God to allow us to experience that, and that I'm going to get you out of this. It may not be in your time, but I'm getting you out. And watch what I'm going to do with your life. See, we're here now, in this moment, in this church setting, of his wisdom that he had for you. He knew when he was going to call you unto himself and start now redirecting your life, your heart, your mind, your soul. And what I'm seeing with you and with myself is we're doing it through a biblical approach, not through a worldly approach. He's raising us up in the way of the word, in the way that God would want us to be raised up. Amen. Look what Paul wrote to the Romans in chapter 11 here. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become his counselor? Or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him? Did you catch all that? Oh, the depth of his riches. It's beyond us. It's beyond you and I. And yet, his goodness is upon our life. Because he saw all these things. He saw the riches and the glory that he wanted to give you and I. And guess what? It's not done yet. The climactic event is when he comes for us, and we're going to have a body like his to live with him forever. What we're reading now is how he's dealing with us on this earthly realm. And that he will never leave us nor forsake us. That he's going to do exactly what he promised to do. And then deliver us. We're like in a caterpillar. And we're going to bust out of the cocoon. And we're going to fly away like a butterfly in that brand new body. We're going to be transformed. We're going to be like him. Thank you, God. And another thing that he is, where sometimes we miss the mark, is he is faithful. Even if we are faithless, he remains faithful. Why? Because that's his nature. He's a faithful God. What he promises, he will do. How many believe that he will do that?
Amen.
Look what Timothy wrote. 2 Timothy. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. Why? Because he cannot deny himself. None of us could ever say, God, you're unfaithful. None of us. None of us could ever say that. He's always faithful. Even in the hardest times. And I know some of you are going through some hard times. Hard times. With friends, with family. But God will have the last say. Can I get an amen? God will have the last say. Come on, give God a shout of praise. He will have the last say. And then he wrote this in 1 Corinthians, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. This is how God is so faithful, that he called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He didn't leave us out there in the world.
Thank you, Lord.
I think some of you were feeding the homeless right now. Weren't you, Brother Lafayette? You coming back from a homeless ministry?
Yeah, we're helping out the walk for the breast cancer people.
Oh, yeah. There's some people right now that are going through. How many people do you know right now that got cancer? God said, just pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up every hand that knows people that have cancer right now. Father, we ask that you would be the God of all comfort, the God of all grace, the God of all mercy. Lord, we just read right now that you fill all space. Lord, so we ask, God, as we pray for these individuals, that you would comfort them, that you would heal them, that you would restore them, that you would deliver them, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Eradicate, destroy that cancer. For the name of Jesus is above every name, and it's above the name of cancer. And we bind it and we rebuke the cancer cells right now. In the name of Jesus, let it be gone right now. We speak life and not death. We speak hope and not despair. We speak that you are faithful. Hallelujah. Who created us. Who spoke everything into existence. So God, we ask, Lord, go before us, oh God. Hallelujah. Lord, hallelujah. Thank you, God. We're celebrating you right now on who you are. We're reminding each other on who you are. Hallelujah. Do it for them, God. Do it for them, God. In the name of Jesus. Come on, give God a shout. Another attribute is that he is good. Woo! Is God good? All the time? And all the time, God is good, huh? Yes, the Lord is not only the giver of good things, he's also the one who determines what is good. Praise God. Turn to your neighbor and say, God has made us good in his sight. And let me just say why would I say that? Because the blood has covered us. Can I get an amen? And whatever he covers in his blood, that is good. That is good. Can I get an amen? When we understand that he allows trials, heartaches, and difficulties because they are sometimes beneficial for us. Can I get an amen for that? But here's the key, not to be discouraged by them. Because in his time, he'll get the glory. He'll remove those things. So we can say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. In time, we may even look back and say, man, I was so worried about that. And look what he did. What he did. That's right. What he did. And so King David said it best. Look at this. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endures where? Forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Come on. Are you the redeemed of the Lord? Hallelujah. Then say so. Whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Come on. Come on, he has redeemed us from the hand of Satan. Satan at one time had his neck on us. Hallelujah. His neck was in his grip, and then God delivered us. Can I get an amen? He had a knee on our neck. You remember that scene we saw? He had a knee on our neck, was choking out our life. And then God came and rescued you. He came and rescued us. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Man, hallelujah. Woo, man, just to think of what he has delivered us from. Whoa, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Woo, thank you, God. Another great attribute is he's unchanging. He's unchanging. Jesus, the book says, the Bible says, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I love what Malachi said. Look at this. In Malachi, for I am the Lord, and I do not change. Ooh, he doesn't change. We're the one that changes. We want to change with every fab, with every new do, with all these clothes. Hallelujah. Oh yeah. We want to change with the culture, but God doesn't change.
That's right. Thank you, Lord.
He is the same. He is still faithful to just as he was back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
That's right.
He has never changed, but has simply given us deeper insight to his nature and the ways of his son, Jesus Christ. When we came with Jesus, when he came to this earth, saints of God, as the God-man. Now, I hope you understand what I just said. He's 100% man and 100% God at the same time. He's the God-man. And he interacted with mankind. He came from that third heaven to be with us. Thank you, God. That vast place that we can't never get to until we become like him. He came down here to be with us. That's how much he loves us. Do you know that God loves you? Turn to your neighbor and say, God loves you. He loves us. He loves us. You know, later on, in this day, sometime in the afternoon or evening, you know, it's going to be in my heart right now. My heart stirred up, but I'm just going to keep thinking how much he loves me.
Yes.
How much he loves me. When you're all by yourself and there's nobody there,
amen,
that he loves you.
Amen.
God loves me. And when you allow him to get into your soul like that, to understand who he is in your life,
Lord,
he'll give us the strength to be overcomers.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
To overcome. This is what he's looking for us in, to overcome the obstacles of life. Because he had to. He had to endure the cross. He had to endure the shame. He was naked before the world. He didn't have a terry cloth on him. He was beaten like a dog. And Josephus, who was a historian back then, he was there. He was an eyewitness that you couldn't even tell his gender no more. That's how his flesh was ripped apart. But not one bone was broken. But he did it for you and me. He saw you. He saw you and you and you and you. He goes, I did it for them. And they're going to one day know in their heart of hearts that I love them. And Jesus does love us.
Yes, he does.
He loves us. He loves us. Look at Hebrews Jesus, I just quoted this scripture. Jesus is the same what? Yesterday, today, and forever. So I have to ask this question. How does God encourage us? Because there never should be a reason to stay in a state of discouragement. Because the Lord's attributes we've been reading clearly reveal his desire to encourage us, to encourage you. However, saints of God, we must also be aware of the ways in which he reaches out to you and me. And how does he reach out to us? By his word.
That's right.
By his word. Our first response to any challenge, difficulty, or pain should be to seek out God's word. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
To seek it out. Thank you, God. That's where we'll find his promises to help and to guide us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. And when you and I, saints of God, when we believe what he says and trust that he is a faithful God, that he's a gracious God, that he's a God of all comfort, we'll be encouraged and strengthened. Can I get an amen?
Right.
This is what Solomon wrote. Look at this in Proverbs. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their what? All their flesh. And so, one of the things where you can really be intimate with him is develop this, a prayer life. A prayer life. If you're not praying, you're not hearing. If you're not praying, you're not speaking. If you're not praying, you won't know what he wants in your life. Prayer is when you get before him and he will speak to you. Oh, yes, he speaks to you. It's that still little voice. And you know it's him. And guess what? He will never leave you astray. Oh, yes, he will never leave you astray. See, the Lord doesn't want you and I to be anxious, but instead to come to him for every concern. Can I get an amen?
That's right.
One of the simplest ways and the effective prayers we can offer to the Lord in the times of our need. Let me ask you, what would that be? What can you think of? What can you think of how we can come to God in the time of our need? What would you say right away? It's real simple. And we don't have to go into, oh, thou wast kingeth of all creation. And you just get on your knees and say, Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. It's as simple as that. We don't have to get King James on them. Jesus, help me. No problem is bigger than our omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent God who is committed on encouraging you and I. That's how he rolls. That's who he is. Never should we be down and out, downtrodden and in despair. Because Paul wrote this to the Philippian church, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer. There it is. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And let the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ. Praise God. And know this. He has a plan for you. You got to understand his plans. How many believe that he has a plan for you?
Amen.
Jeremiah 29:11. Look at this. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're coming in for a close. And I need to show you this attribute. Well, it's not so much his attribute, but it's an exhortation. Meaning this. Godly friendships. Let me ask you this. Are most of your friends godly or ungodly? Ask yourself that. Do you hang out with ungodly folk that curse and swear and chew and do all the things that they do? Or are your friends the ones that you can call and say, I'm going through, can you pray for me? Or will God speak to you and you'll call someone, God told me to pray for you? Are you sensitive to that? Are you sensitive to his voice? Are you ready to drop hat and go and pray for someone when you're able to? Are you able to lift people in prayer and pray their needs? Or even when a family's going through, you know, you shake their hand and you put something in it. Put something in their hand so that they can maybe eat that day. Are you sensitive to know when people are in dire need? See, ungodly people won't have that mind. It's all about good time, Charlie, and let's go party. You talk about prayer, and they're out of there. You have to make wise choices in our life to help us, to strengthen us, to guide us. So when hard times do come, we'll know what to do and we won't panic.
Yes, that's right.
You know, I was watching a college game yesterday, and it's my favorite team right now. I've been following them. It's Colorado Buffaloes. Deion Sanders is the head coach, and his sons, all three of his sons, two of them, one of them is a quarterback. The other one is a defensive back. And before he got to Colorado, he was at Jackson State, and they won that. It's a black league down there. And they were like 0 for nothing when Deion got there. They won two championships back-to-back. So then Colorado, which is in the Big 12, recruited him, and he brought everyone with him and plus, and that school hasn't won a game in like since 2013. They've been winless. Now they're 8-2. They're going to be playing possibly for the Big 12 championship. And let me just say this. He instills in all of his players biblical wisdom. They have Bible studies. He's a believer. Deion Sanders is a believer. And there's a pastor there that takes them in the Word. And they put God first in their life. Their structure in their life. And so they're building their foundation on biblical principle. I'm sharing this because you could see it played out there in their life, and you could see it played out on the field.
That's right.
You see, when you have Christ, you've already won.
That's right.
When you have Jesus, you've already won. We're going through battles of life, I get that. But Jesus won the war.
That's right.
Can I get amen?
Amen.
And the battles we're going through, God's already defeated them. But you got to give it to him.
That's right.
Look at, this is why I saw a segment. And he goes, one of the things that he tells his sons choose your company well. Yeah, and none of them drink and party. They don't do none of that. They're good kids. Matter of fact, the one of the, if you watch this team, there's a wide receiver. He plays full-time receiver and full-time defensive back. He's up for the Heisman Trophy Award. And he's a straight-A student. And he's going to win the Heisman by a landslide. Travis Hunter. He's going to win it by a landslide. And he has straight A's. But yet, he attends all the Bible studies. God's favor. And they choose the right people to be with. You can't be like that and hang out with corrupt people. Because this, look at what God's word says. It's so true. Look at this. In 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. You got to believe what God just said. Do not be deceived. It's so easy to be deceived. But evil company, and these are people that have no respect for the things of God. Even, you know, some of them, they'll go bleepity, 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 bleep, and then Jesus Christ will come out. It's like, wow. That, to me, that's corrupt. Because they don't know who Jesus is. They can't even honor him. They don't know that he's God. They don't even know that he created them. And they're cursing him. Look at this in Proverbs 12:26. The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. Man, receive this word. Those of you that are on Facebook and YouTube that are watching, receive this word, because people that don't know God will lead you astray. They'll keep your heart cold. Help us, God. And one of the ways to really transform your mind, it's not so much being in Bible study. Bible study is important. But you know what really transforms your mind? It did it for me. Is this. Worship music. When I got saved, I had over 300 R&B, rap and jazz albums and CDs, and I didn't have a desire for it no more. Here I am trying to live holy, and I listen to a song that wants me to fornicate. Huh? Oh, come on. If that ain't a clash of the titans, I don't know what is. God often encourages us through favorite hymns. Look, today's worship, brother, it was so incredible. See, that ministers to the soul. Not the boopity bop bop me bop 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 bop. Yeah. Look at this. In Ephesians 5:19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Amen. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Amen. Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Everything. Yeah, that's right. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Let everything that have breath. Thank you, God. And one of the things is to always be in his presence. It's an awesome awareness of the Lord's constant presence with us. Why did he say, be in my presence? It's to encourage us. To let us know that his presence is tangible. It's just not something written on ink. The presence of the Holy Spirit will manifest inside you, and you will feel him. Can I get amen?
Amen.
You will know him. Thank you, God. It's an entity that you cannot describe. The person that's unsaved can't comprehend what I'm saying right now. It doesn't make sense to them. Because the miracle of God hasn't taken place yet in their heart. And it's by faith. Look at this in Psalm 16:11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is what? The fullness of joy. At your right hand are always pleasure forevermore. And as I close with these questions now. I close with these questions, and then we'll give an invitation for Christ to those who are watching right now. Because everyone here has given their hearts to God by the grace of God. But number one, look at this. What do you normally do when you feel discouraged? Do you go into a pity party? Oh, woe is me. But you don't know what they said. Oh, we can go there, can't we? Look at number two. Has this response lifted your spirits or left you feeling disheartened? The way you handled it, did it lift you up or left you disheartened? I'll tell you what, if you murmur and complain, you'll remain in a disheartened state of mind. Look at number three. Have you ever felt trapped in discouragement? We've all been there, done that. Come on. We're humans. We still go through. But today, we got a little bit of ammunition here. The Word of God just reloaded. It gave you fresh ammo this morning. Hallelujah. Now you can load up your AK-47 or whatever it's called. Look at number four. How does it make you feel to know that you can choose to step out of that trap?
That's right. Amen.
You can. Listen, God made us with a mind to choose. I remember what Bishop Trout, not Joel Trout, his father, Raymond Trout. I remember what he said. It stuck with me like glue. He goes, you know what? I wake up in the morning, I choose to be happy.
That's right.
I choose to love God today. You can wake up and say, man, and find things to pick apart. Or you could just wake up and have joy in your heart. My wife is my witness. She's up before me. But I wake up, hi honey, how you doing? I got a smile on my face. I don't look at her like, what's up? What's up? I look at her when I wake up. There's a flower right there. It's just like a bloom, glistening in the air. No, man, she's the love of my life. And you know the things that are important in your life? You got to learn how to water that plant. Can I get an amen? Learn how to love your wife, love your children, love them. Look, because we're not going to always be here.
That's right.
They're not going to always be here.
That's right.
Take every moment and embrace it for that day. God said, we're not promised tomorrow.
That's right.
And so when it's time for me to check out, I want to check out that I was loving someone, not hating somebody.
That's right.
Can I get an amen in the house?
Amen.
Look at number 5. Which of God's attributes would bring you the most hope in the face of disheartening circumstances? We read a whole lot of attributes. One of them that comes to mind is He's faithful to not keep me there. And then number 6. As you consider the ways of the Lord wants, as you consider the ways the Lord wants to encourage you, which ones do you need to remember and focus upon? For me, all of them.
Yes. Amen.
All of them. I need all of them. How many believe we need all of them?
We need all of them.
We need all of them. Amen? And so, I'm speaking now to those who are watching by faith. Those of you that logged in and Facebook and YouTube, maybe you came to our website by accident. Or maybe you've been there 2-3 times. Or maybe, just maybe, you've never given your heart to the risen Christ. We want to give you an opportunity right now to receive the Lord. And, brother, is there anything we could play soft on while you're still here, brother? Thank you, brother. Come on, let's give another shout for Brother Caleb. He's such a blessing. We're hoping next week maybe both you and your wife can be and eat with us. But we're going to tear it up, brother. You come hungry. And so I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here right now to pray with me, to pray for you, that you too can receive Jesus, the Messiah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the God that can save you from the guttermost to the uttermost, the God that will set you free, whether you're going through emotional, spiritual, or physical ailments. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever think and ask and hope for. And so if that is you, I'm going to ask you that you would bow your head and your head with your heart with me and pray this prayer by faith and watch God do the miraculous in your life. So let's pray for them, saints, right now. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout. Hallelujah. Is he worthy? Man, he is so worthy.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com. or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.